Welcome to the Creative Circle Podcast.
Let's bag and board this.
Welcome to the Creative Circle Podcast, episode number 9. This week, I have Aaron Evans in studio with me. Hi, Aaron.
We're talking to someone special today, Phil, and not only because she's your sister.
We're talking to my sister?
We are.
That's special.
I know this came up kind of fast. But
yeah, like, you told me what, like an hour ago?
I know. I got a phone call from your sister, and she's like, let's do a podcast now. I got time. I don't got time the rest of this week. Let's do it now.
So we're going to remember. Okay, let's make this happen. Hello, sister. How's it going?
It's going great. How are you, brother?
I'm doing fantastic.
Awesome.
I'm here, too.
I mean, hey, Aaron.
Not to intrude on your family reunion and all, but
whatever.
It's good to hear you, Ruth.
Likewise.
Mm-hmm. So on this show, we supposedly talk to people about how they got to where they are. So we can talk about that. We don't have to only talk about that. But I mean, Ruth already knows, or Phil already knows this story, like from before your existence. So
we could go way back. I was born. Well,
we could start there.
Do we want to start there?
Start all the way back.
Were you born in Minnesota?
No, I was not.
I take pride in the fact that my sister is a Cretan. She was born in Crete, Illinois. Don't be creepy.
Yeah, don't be creepy.
But
come on.
I was thinking Crete in the Mediterranean, and I was really impressed for a second.
Well, usually I stop after that point.
That's usually what I've been telling people. I was like, I was born in Crete. And they're like, wow, you're awesome. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Oh, I'm hoping one of the things we can maybe touch on here tonight, along with how you got to where you are, but also maybe some tips and tricks or things you didn't expect or things that, you know, stuff like that. Because you're, for those of you tuning in and everyone listening at home, playing along at home, you just graduated like a year ago, pretty much, and you moved out to L.A. Kind of just to find a place and go at it, right?
Something like that. You want me to talk about that?
Yeah, go for it. Introduce yourself and kind of what you wanted to do and where you are for everyone who doesn't know.
Okay. Well, I graduated in, I guess, May, this past May, from Bethany Lutheran College. I have my degree in studio art, sort of media arts, animation, graphic design. And I didn't really know what to do with that. So I just kind of was like, meh, I graduated. And I was like, this sucks. Like, what am I going to do in southern Minnesota? Like, I don't even know what I'm doing. And I got a phone call from a contest that I had entered with Promax BDA for their Making the Cut competition, and I had won. So I got to go to LA for the conference, and that was really good for networking. And then that also included an internship at the CW TV network in their on-air promotions department. So I moved out to LA at the end of August, and I had an internship with the CW, and that's how I got to LA. And that's where I am now.
That's a big jump.
From southern Minnesota, from New Ulm, Minnesota, 14,000 mm-hmm. people to LA.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a big jump.
It takes some courage to do that.
My mom dropped me off at the airport. I went into the bathroom stall and I cried. And then I got on the plane and I moved out here. And that was probably the worst part, was actually just like leaving Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And I actually miss winter right now, actually, like a lot, which is weird.
It is.
It's been pretty warm all winter.
I know. I envy that.
Like, in January, it was like 80 some of the days, and I was like, where am I? And then, like, it'll be 80 one day, and then, like, 2 days later, it'll be 35 degrees. And you're like, where am I? Why does this keep happening? And, like, one day my car didn't start. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. It was like, rah, 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 like, wouldn't turn over. So I took a taxi to work. Fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. I come home. It turns on. I was like, okay. So I'm like, I'm going to take it to the mechanic, okay? I'm going to go and see what he says. He's like, yeah, it was probably just too cold for your car. I drove this car from Minnesota. Really? Like, I've started this car at negative 30 below zero. I was like, do not tell me that it is too cold.
Car in temperatures that would kill most people in that area of the world.
Exactly. With my bare hands. I wasn't wearing a jacket either. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but now it's like 50 degrees out, and I'm like, I have on flannel, I'm under my covers, I'm like shaking.
So you adapted, like you adapted quickly.
Like within the first week I was here, I had adapted. It was crazy.
You didn't have a car for a while. That was pretty bold.
Oh, man.
Like you were...
Biking.
That sounds...
I think I've...
Go ahead.
I almost got hit multiple times. So
I believe that. Basically. I mean, that sounds really scary. I was in L.A. for 2 months, and I couldn't imagine motorcycling, much less biking through that traffic.
Yeah, see, I was in Burbank, so it was a little bit better. There were sometimes bike lanes, but I don't know. Like, after the first day, I was like, you just kind of have to do it bold, or someone's just going to hit you just for the fun of it. Like, oh, look at that girl, she's shaking when she's biking. Like, drive up next to you and knock you over.
That girl from Minnesota.
Exactly. So you kind of have to pretend that you're bigger than the cars when you're biking and just be like, yeah, that's right, I'm in your lane now. And you're, like, biking along, and they're like, and you're like, suck it, I'm on a bike.
It's all about having the right mindset.
Exactly. You have to fight for your place in the road.
Mm-hmm.
I have just as much right to be here as you do. I'm, like, shaking my fist at people. I almost hit a squirrel once. That was pretty exciting.
It sounds
he
like
he ran
it.
Right underneath my tire, and I was like, ah! Squirrel!
Yeah. So they have squirrels out there.
Oh, yeah. Like the fox squirrels, like the ones we have back home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see them very often. Actually, you know, the neighborhood I'm living now, it's like an old Japanese neighborhood. And so I see a lot of squirrels here, and I don't know why that is exactly, mm-hmm. but I think it has something to do with all the bonsai.
Okay. They like that?
I don't know. I just, mm-hmm. just making stuff up now. You should never give somebody a microphone like me. Oh, wait, I don't have a microphone. That's why I don't have a microphone. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, yeah. So my internship at the CW, I biked 2.5 miles to work every day. So I'd get up, get on my bike, fight with traffic, almost hit squirrels. By the time I would get to work, I was like, like, I wanted to die, like, every single day. Like, I didn't get fit in my CW. Like, that just didn't happen to me. Like, usually you're like, oh, you're biking 5 miles a day, you should be fit. No, it didn't happen. I don't know. Like, I was still huffing and puffing the same way every time I got to work.
Did you get faster?
Did I get faster? No, it was about the same.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what happened to me. I just, like, got stuck in, like, this weird, I don't know. Yeah. Just.
But you got you got bolder, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, I got bolder, but I don't know. Okay. So I was, like, taking different routes to work and stuff. I'm like, ooh, look at how cool I am.
So you get
I want to take a left instead of a right.
So you get to work every day. Can you tell us what you did there at all?
I can tell you a little bit about it. It was on the smaller Warner Brothers lot, so I would start my day off by biking through with my ID to the security checkpoint, having them scan my ID, and then I didn't have a bike pass for a really long time, so I had to park like off to the side, and then I had to like walk through security, and they're like, look at my bag, and make sure I'm not like bringing a gun in or something.
Mm-hmm.
Then I go in my building. I worked with Chris Donovan, who's the senior vice president of on-air promotions. And so I did a lot of work for him, researching shows and like watching the shows that the CW was coming out with and thinking of ways to help them promote the shows. And then also finding out what people liked about the shows. And I'd make documents talking about like what I was seeing online and what people are saying about the shows to kind of help people who are developing promotional material to kind of know what the fans like to see.
Totally.
And then I also did some editing, which none of my stuff will ever air, but I did get to do some editing while I was there.
That's cool. So what'd you do after that? What was kind of the next step for you?
Well, my next step was well, I was living at this crazy house, like crazy communist lady.
I heard something about a Klingon.
Was that
a thing?
Wait, what? What did you say?
Wasn't there like a Klingon living there? I heard something about this.
Klingon?
I don't know if you can talk about this, but there was some.
Oh yeah, no, weren't you gonna live with a Klingon or something like that?
Oh man, when I first got out here and I was looking on Craigslist for a place to live, because where else do you find somewhere to live? So I responded to 3 Craigslist ads and I went to check out the places. The first one I went to check out, the guy is the Guinness World Record holder for being the most made up aliens in film and television. Like,
really?
Honestly, I walk in his living room. He's got the plaque there. I looked him up. He's like legit. It was funny because I just watched an episode of John Benjamin Has a Van and he was the alien in that. And I was like, and he was like, what? And I was like, I don't watch TV. And he was like, what? And I was like, I want to rent the room. He's like, do you need help? I'm like, I need to. So that didn't work out. He decided to rent to somebody else.
Okay.
I wonder why. I was like, let's watch old episodes of Star Trek. And he was like, please leave. Why are you drooling on my carpet? Get off of my carpet. All right, so he called me back, and he was like, yeah, I found someone else to rent the room. And I was like, okay, fine. And he was like a week later, he emailed me. He's like, yeah, that girl didn't work out. Do you still want to live here? And I'm like, no. I moved on really quickly. It's like my blood thinned, my want to live with an alien thinned.
Okay. You got over that.
Okay, second place I went to look at, his name was Robert. He was probably about 50 years old, bright blue eyes, and a beard down to his stomach with had ponytails in it. So I was like, okay. All right, Robert, show me the room. We go in, small apartment. There's a big curtain in the middle of the apartment. Like, how do I say this? A theater curtain. Like, big red curtain, like heavy material. I'm like, okay. He's like, yeah, all my stuff is back in the corner there. And he's like, I'm going to rent this section of the apartment here to this girl. She's like 17. And he's like, and you can rent out the master bedroom. And I was like, okay, first off, this is illegal, Robert. Secondly, how creepy is that? Okay, it's gross, it's weird, it's creepy. Okay, so he shows me the place. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll totally get back to you. I look in the corner, there's a cat laying there. And I was like, there's something wrong with that cat. And I look over, and this cat, like, lifts its head, and it was like, meow. And I was like, what's wrong with your cat? Because, of course, I have no filter. He's like, oh, Lewis. He's like, my cat's name is Lewis. And he's old. He's probably, like, 14 years old, and he's really sick, and I just don't know what to do. All right? Apparently, I have a face that says, tell me everything about your life. Because all of a sudden, he just opens up. He's like, yeah, so I was homeless for a while, and I found Lewis out on the street, and after my wife left me, like, I found Lewis, and then when my second wife left me, I still had Lewis. He's like, you know, when you marry someone, you think she's going to be the one, and then you marry someone again, and you think she's going to be the one. And I'm like, I'm backing towards the door as quickly as I can. I'm really sorry about your cat. Okay.
I
don't know why I was singing. I have no idea. So I'm like backing away. I'm like, yeah, I'm so sorry. I'm like, you should really take him to a vet. He looks really sick. He's got like mange. He's like, like in the corner. He's like, yeah, I think I'm going to have to take him to the vet. He's like starting to cry. And I'm like, oh, Robert, it's okay. We became very close very quickly. So, I was like, you know what? I'm going to call you back about the room, all right? I got to go. Like, I got to be at a thing right now. I got to go. Okay, bye. So I go. I leave. I'm like, out of there. I'm like, okay, this got crazy. But I feel bad. I'm like, I should really call him and tell him I'm not interested in the room so he's not, like, holding off on other people. So I'm like, okay. So I call him. Call him back. Hi, Robert. This is Ruth calling. He's like, oh, Ruth. I'm at the vet right now with Lewis. I'm waiting for the doctor to come in. They're about to put him down.
Aww.
And I was like, oh, because I have the best timing in the world. Like, I couldn't have called you 10 minutes, like, an hour ago, before you had to take your cat to the vet. I'm like, oh, Robert, I'm so sorry. Like, I can't rent the room. Okay, well, thank you for calling me back, and keep Lewis in your thoughts. Like, this is a really hard time. I'm like, okay, have a great day. Okay, bye. So, like, for 3 days, I felt like the crappiest person in the world. So I was like, I can't believe I called him while he was at the vet, waiting for his cat to die. So I decided I'm going to make him a thank you card, all right? Mm-hmm. So I make him a handmade thank you card. I put it in the mail because I have his address. I don't put a return address on it. Send it to him. Okay. So he emails me back, and he's like, he emails me. He's like, oh, thank you so much. That's the nicest thing anyone has ever done for me. I hope that this isn't too much information. First off, anytime I ever read that, I want to run the other direction. Like, I hope this isn't creepy. I hope this isn't horrible. I hope this doesn't make you think any less of me. And then they say something, and I'm like, no, keep it in. Keep it together, man. But after Lewis passed on, I found a very reputable animal, like, freezing station where he frozen his body. And I believe that until an animal has until the body has come to its final resting place, the spirit of the animal remains with us. Lewis is here now with me, and he very much enjoyed your card. Reading this, and I'm like, oh my goodness. He was like, Lewis will be shortly cremated, and I will take his ashes to our favorite spot on the beach where we used to play guitar and sing at Sycamore Cove. Thank you so much for the card. Lewis is very happy to have received it. I'm just like, okay, well, I'm really glad I didn't rent that room.
So Lewis was the one.
Lewis is a cat. Wait, right. Lewis is the one.
He was the one.
The right? One.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The other people he married weren't the one, but apparently Lewis.
Oh, well, Lewis was the one. Lewis.
Yeah.
This guy's an actor too, so I'm like waiting to like be watching the movie and like see him in the background and be like, yeah, Robert, yeah, woo, yeah, Robert. Anyway,
this film.
I don't know why I would get so excited.
This film in memory of Lewis.
Exactly. Okay. Like someday he'll be famous, and I'll be like, oh, I should have rented the room. Okay. So then the third place I went to look at, lady, probably 34, two kids. Just divorced her husband. Two dogs. I was like, okay, I can handle this. No big deal. They seem normal. Wrong. Lady's a stark raving communist. And I'm not saying that in like a mean, like, oh man, you're a communist. Like, legitimate, like, underground communist party showed me her collection of t-shirts and protest gear. Crazy.
Did she have a
like, when I got my absentee ballot in the mail, she gave me really dirty looks for like 3 days. Because apparently I shouldn't be voting for anyone who's not a communist. Anyway.
Did she have a membership card?
I don't think so. Well, she didn't show it to me if she did.
Okay.
She got really excited because I had a photo of Leo Tolstoy or whatever that guy, the Russian author, on my wall.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, oh, who's that guy? What? She thought I was a communist because I had a picture of a bearded man hanging on my wall. It's like, oh, wow, I've never seen you this excited before. So she would use me as her therapist. She'd, like, come and sit on my doorstep and tell me all about her horrible life and how badly things were going for her. And her boyfriend would occasionally come visit. His name is Carlos. So I was kind of living in a Latino soap opera for a while because, like, the ex-husband would come and, like, yell and make a big scene. And Carlos would always be there. So that was exciting. A little bit of ethnicity for me there. So then I moved to Culver City, which is where I am right now, in my little old Japanese neighborhood. I'm renting a room here. And, okay, yeah, so wow, after the CW, I got really sidetracked there. I was looking for a job, and of course that's extraordinarily difficult anywhere right now. So I wasn't really finding anything, and a lot of places were like, oh, you need reliable transportation. And I'm like, well, I have my bike and my legs. What more do I need? And they're like, yeah, no. So I talked to my parents, and I was like, you guys, help me, please. I'm dumb and don't have money, and I need a car. I was like, if I fly to Minnesota, can I drive our family's car back here? And they were like, we need to think about it. And I was like, okay, that's a no. And then a couple hours later, I get a call and I'm like, yeah, come back, get the car. And I was like, yes, road trip, pilgrimage, yeah, okay. So I fly to Minnesota, spent a few days there visiting people. And then I drove back out to LA, road trip on my own. Exciting. That was a long drive.
It is.
It is.
Yeah, I know you've done it.
Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I was with other people.
That's true. You did have the advantage of not having to listen to country the whole ride.
Yeah.
Through Nebraska.
Yeah. I went to Maida.
Yeah, I didn't. I lost pieces of myself in that place.
In Nebraska.
Yeah. Yeah. The road trip was great. I mean, mm-hmm. I just listened to the radio because I didn't have anything else to do. So. Yeah, it was good.
But you made
I actually
it.
Don't remember the road trip. I just remember, like, I mean, I stopped in Nebraska to visit my friend Holly, and I stopped in Colorado to visit my old roommate Leanne. So, I had fun things to do on the way, too. Stayed in my first motel after recently viewing the movie Psycho. And I had a really hard time showering at that motel. Mm-hmm. It scared me. Because there was, a creepy, weird little window in the bathroom. Like, someone could have, there was, a weird garden outside my window. And someone could have, crawled through the window and stabbed me to death. And then put me in a tar pit somewhere. Southern Utah.
Yeah.
Come on,
yeah.
You guys have seen the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron.
I'm going to watch Aaron. It. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, when we get off of this podcast.
Mm-hmm. It's in Phil's office.
Yeah, just plug that in.
Yep.
Now that I've ruined everything for you.
But once you got back to California.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So once I got back, I realized that driving in LA isn't really that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mind it at all. Traffic is annoying, but only usually when there's an accident.
Yep.
We've dropped the call. Don't change that channel. And now, a word from our sponsors. And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
I'm Aaron Evans in the sound booth. Here we are now with Ruth Walls.
Right. I've never put in the new, Apple headphones.
Oh,
that are,
the ear pods?
Your ears are circular, so why should these have been? Yeah, great idea.
They actually are really comfortable.
They hurt my ears like crazy.
Do I sound better?
You sound fantastic.
Okay, because now I actually have a microphone. So.
Yeah, you do, and it sounds good. Mm-hmm. Sounds very good.
It's mm-hmm. better?
Hey, it's, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So you were driving through L.A.
Yeah. What was that? I don't even know what I was saying.
You were talking about how driving in L.A. wasn't bad?
Oh.
Except when there's an accident.
Oh, yeah, that always annoys me, because I'm it's not just the accident that slows everything down, it's just everyone's a gawker here. It's like, fender bender, I want to see some blood. slowing down on the freeway. Oh man, look at that bumper.
That one got hit real bad.
Uh-oh.
In the middle with his motorcycle broken around him, and he's crying, but who cares? I gotta get to work. I gotta do some stuff. Cry in your own time, man. I don't know. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. I think the longest time I spent sitting in traffic so far was 3.5 hours. I was on my way to Burbank, Culver City, and it took me 3.5 hours to get 30 miles.
That's pretty bad. Fortunately, I never ran into that when I was out there, but
I was on my way to an interview.
That's never good.
Hour and a half late to my interview.
Were they upset about that, or were they understanding?
Oh, usually, you'd be like, man, there was an accident, and they'd be like, oh yeah, LA traffic. You know, it's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking for a job, and I got a full-time job actually working at a doggy daycare. Blech. I mean, it's great for what it is, which is money for rent, money for gas, money for eating, which I do occasionally. And Yeah, so I did that, and I was like, okay, so I need to find something industry related now that I, you know, actually have an income that I can, you know, live while I'm looking for a job. So I'm, because I like stop motion animation, because I want to get be involved in something creative, I looked at all the stop motion animation companies that are here in LA, and I picked my top five, then decided I was going to stunt them. So the one I picked first was Stupid Buddy Studios, and they started off their animation. It's actually the merging of two companies. It's Buddy System Studios and Stupid Monkey Studios. They came together to create Stupid Buddy Studios. And Buddy System Studios started off their offices in an old Winnebago camper. So I was like, oh, it'd be really cool to like make a paper model like of a Winnebago camper and then send them one of my puppets and like make them a letter and just kind of like a cute little gift. And like my puppet's like holding my flash drive and it's like, please watch the stuff on the flash drive because I'm cool and I want to work for you. And so I did that and I like drew all over the box and made it crazy and I sent it to them like right before Christmas. And I was like, okay, well, this is cool. And I'd waited and I waited and I waited. Like a week and a half later, I get an email from the owner of the studio. He was like, hey, thanks for the box. That was really great. Let me talk to some people and see if I can get you in for an interview. After that, I got an email from the animation supervisor who got me in touch with the VFX supervisor who was looking for some interns at the time. So I got in, and I am a visual effects intern at Stupid Buddy Studios currently.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so, and the guy who actually did the hiring, the HR guy, because I had applied to Stupid Buddy Studios for some of their other jobs like four or five times, like obnoxiously. He was like, yeah, he's like, I've seen your resume like five times now. He's like, nice persistence. He's like, you got you this. And I was like, thanks. I'm really pushy, like a little crazy bulldog. So
it's what you got to be sometimes.
So foot's in the door now, so that's exciting. And I can't talk about what I'm working on.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the kinds of things you're doing in general terms?
Since Stupid Buddy Studios does stop motion animation, I do a lot of like very generic visual like cleanup on shots. So they'll send me a shot and there will be like dust or rigs to remove. Sometimes they're like, oh, add a glow on this or add something on this, you know, just to make it more interesting, or prep the shot for this, or we need you to rotoscope this guy out so we can put him in this scene and stuff like that. And so I'll come in, they'll give me my shots, like what they want me to do with them. Then I work through the shots, have one of my supervisors come take a look at the shot I worked on, get an okay, render it out, get it ready for the next person. And the more time I spend there, the more like interesting the shots get. So like, you know, when I first started, it was like rotoscope this, and it's like, you know, like 8 hours of rotoing. It's like, oh, I want to die right now. But now the shots are more like, okay, now do something fun with this or try doing this. And so getting to work with the program is really good. And then also doing training with Mocha and various other programs that they use there.
Mocha's really sweet.
I have problems with it right now, but I'm getting there.
Yeah, you'll get there. You'll like it.
Yeah, I think I will. So that's
really cool.
Yeah, so Mondays and Tuesdays I intern at Stupid Buddy Studios, and Wednesday through Sunday I work at City Dog Club.
Yep.
7 days a week. Holding down the fort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, that doesn't sound real exciting now, but that's where everyone starts. I mean, that's how you get in, is by working hard and starting out there.
Exactly. So. And I'm making a lot of good connections at Stupid Buddy Studios. I mean, they're all friends with the people at Shadow Machine, at Screen Novelties, you know, so they have connections to other studios that I would be interested in working at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's good.
Do you find between the two jobs you have, do you find one to be a lot more relaxing or one to be more exciting, or like how are those balanced, or are they?
Well, when I'm working at City Dog Club, it's like, I don't know. I work at the front desk, so I schedule appointments, and it's a lot of just like phone calls and scheduling and checking dogs in and out. So I see a lot of dogs. So it's kind of like, I don't know. It's probably, it's like not hard. It's not a hard job. it's pretty easy. And then when I go to Stupid Buddy, that's like my weekend, my 2 days off from work, how I like to spend my free time. And it's stressful, but in a good way, because I have to be creative and I have to be like on top of like my, you know, like what I'm doing when I'm there. I have to really think about, you know, how to make the shot look better and how to do it within the amount of time I have. Because I don't want to leave a shot. Like, I don't want to start a shot and then have someone else have to figure out, like, what I'm doing with it to finish it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're completely different. But, I mean, in the end, I would prefer to be working at Stupid Buddy, like, 7 days a week. But, whatever. Someday.
Oh, I think one of our target audience is, with this podcast, is people who want to kind of move out to L.A., and kind of get started in doing some of the things like you're doing out there. So I guess one question I would pose is there something you wish you would have known before you got out there that you could maybe tell people now, or that they should look up and learn before they jump into things?
Yeah. you know, bring your winter gear. Because it's cold. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, I was like, I'm not going to need my hat. I'm not going to need my gloves. I'm not going to need my whatever. I'm like, scarves? No. It's like, I get here and I was like, oh, it's cold. It's so cold. It's like, people are like, oh, here, wear this. You look cold. I'm like, thanks. Why is it raining right now? I don't know. I had this idea that California was going to be like hot all the time, and it's not. It's crazy, I guess. Yeah. Let's see. Well, if we're moving out here, just, I don't know, just do it. Like, if you're not happy with where you are or you want to be somewhere else, then you shouldn't just, like, stay there. Moving out here is probably one of the hardest things I've done, because I didn't know anyone out here. Like, I knew no one. And so when I moved out here, it was like, I had to, you know, start meeting people and making friends. And, like, now I have, you know, tons of people that I can call friends here that, you know, I can hang out with, do stuff with. But, like, to just do, it's, you know, it's hard. It's not easy. But you have to just, like, set your mind to it and be bold and not be afraid to make mistakes and meet crazy people and witness subway fights and get asked out by homeless people. You know, all normal LA things. And then the other thing is just to, like, roll with it. Because crazy stuff happens here. I mean, you got so many people living in such a small space. Crazy things are bound to happen. Even bad, crazy things. Somebody threw a rock at my car the other day. I was going to get out and beat him with a baseball bat, but I decided that I'd be the greater person and not do it. I am going to get a baseball bat, though, from my car. Because what's scarier than someone with Minnesota plates jumping out of their vehicle with a baseball bat, throw on my Twins cap, and just take somebody down, go postal on him? You're going down!
It's a Viking woman.
Yeah, exactly. See, maybe I should get something, I don't know, maybe like a 9-iron. Put on my like little beanie cap and grab a 9-iron out of my trunk.
Yep.
So, you're going down. So you're going down.
So you got your scarf, your gloves, your baseball bat, you're set for LA.
Right. Exactly. That's my advice. Golf club. I don't know. No, don't say that. You can delete that part. Just kidding. But really. Anyway. Oh, yeah. Something that's fun about LA is celebrity sightings, you know.
Any fun ones?
Well, probably my favorite one so far. You know, I've seen a few people here and there. I mean, I saw like, I don't even know what their names are. See, like, that's like the hard part. It's like, I'll be hanging out with someone and be like, oh my goodness, we just walked by blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, huh? Who? What were they in? And I'm like on my smartphone, like, all right, let's look them up. And we're like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess that could be that person. And I'm like, eh, I don't know. Like, I usually don't care unless it's somebody that I like really like. So, like, because I really like Will Arnett, and I saw him the other day.
Nice.
Actually, they were filming Arrested Development on the street that I work on, and the market that I always eat at, like Jerry's Little Deli, they had turned it basically into Mexico. They had, like, torn down the front, and they, like, put sombreros up and, like, fruit hanging, and they had all Hispanic people, like, surrounding it. So I'm really excited for whatever episode that's going to be. I got off of work. I'd seen them set up all day. I'm walking down the street. So, like, across the street from me, it's, like, a narrow, like, street. I'm walking. You know, the security's all lined up staring at me as I'm looking over. Out of the deli walks Will Arnett. We're like, paced evenly. We're walking in stride. And I look over. And he looks over. And I just smile at the guy. I was like, what did I want to do? I wanted to do, like, the Arrested Development chicken thing. I'd be like, you know, like, whatever they do on there. I can't even, like, replicate what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Or what else did I want to do? I wanted to yell, "It's an illusion!" or start to sing the final countdown. The final countdown. You know, like, something like that. Yeah. But no, I just smiled at him and kept walking. I was like, play it cool, play it cool. And then I drove my car by. After I got in my car, I was like, really slow by, and I saw him, like, do the take, like, three more times, and I was like, yeah, Will Arnett! Anyway, so that was exciting. But usually I don't get, like, super pumped when I see celebrities. It's like, eh, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Only ones that I really like. That's the fun part. Yeah, LA. Yeah. LA living. It's my hashtag.
I've noticed that.
In case you're wondering.
I noticed. Been seeing that a lot.
Can we roll back the tape a bit? Because I didn't really know you. I didn't really know you until, like, your last semester here. I'm kind of curious about, like, what you did in college leading up to that and kind of how you decided this was where you wanted to go, in a way, kind of getting into this industry. I mean, you can go back as far as you want with this. I don't know if like, high school is back too far, or...
Like... Well, for me, it would be back too far, because up until... So I studied abroad in Italy, and when I came back, I was still like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I had finished all my graphic design classes, and graphic design is kind of like, meh, because it's static, and I don't like that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I painted a lot of things, and I sculpted, and I drew things, and did graphic design, and I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. So I'm like, I'm going to go to
Italy.
Can
I just stop right here for a second and
say
that you're a really awesome painter and illustrator? And, like,
thank you.
And, like, you really do know what you're doing, but that wasn't satisfying enough for you. You needed something else to use those skills with. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Yeah, I was like, I can do this stuff, but it's not really, I mean, it's like, it is what it is. I just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to Italy, and I was like, oh, I'll figure out what I want to do when I'm in Italy. And I did that, and I was like, oh, I didn't really figure out what I want to do. But I had some really awesome experiences there. And when I came back, of course, I was really depressed because I was like, oh, America. It was like 75 degrees in Florence. I flew back to Minnesota and it was snowing in April. I was like, wow, this is awesome. Kind of, I guess. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Okay. All that. Can I go back now? can I just take me back? Okay. So that was that. And then I went to Bethany to, like, say hi to people. It was, like, the summer. School was out. And there is the tallest professor who stood over me. And I know you know who I'm talking about. And he said, ah, so you finally decided to come back to America. I was like, yeah. And, of course, I hadn't had this professor since my freshman year. Like, I only knew him because he has this aura. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where I first met him, was sitting in on that class. When I was a prospective student.
Exactly. Good times.
Yep. But anyway.
And he looks down on me and he goes, what are you doing with your life? And I was like, good question. He's like, you could actually, like, do something. Like, you're just wasting yourself. And I was like, wow, this guy's just an ass. You might have to bleep that out. And I remember being mad, and I was like, who is he to judge me for the way I want to live my life? I had a John Locke moment. You can't tell me what I can and can't do. I'm like wheeling myself away from him in my wheelchair. I'm like, leave me alone. You don't know what I've been through. All right. And he was like, you know what? And he's like, when you graduate here, he's like, I could get you a job. I'll get you a job. He's like, just take some of my classes. Like, just just trust me. He's like, I'll get you a job. I was like, fine. This guy seems to know what he's talking about, so I'll do it. So I signed up for, like, I don't even know what I signed up for. Animation. I was like, I had finished my degree in graphic design, studio art, and all I needed was upper division credit. So I was like, well, why not? It's fun. I'll take some fun classes my last year. Let's do something fun. So I take, like, 3 or 4 Kurt classes, which pretty much murdered me. But it was totally worth it because it showed me what I wanted to do. It gave me a way to use all of the art things I had learned, all of, like, the you know, like, stuff about composition and color and, like, all the elements of art, and apply that to something that was, like, that I could, you know, use for a career in a way that I wanted to, like, because I like to make things move.
Mm-hmm. I think what's really cool about people like you is that you have those core art and design skills. You can draw really, really well. And even if you don't, like, have the software stuff, like, people can teach you the software stuff. But to have that base of good understanding of composition and color theory and drawing and printmaking, those things are really valuable.
Thank you.
Now, you kind of alluded to all the different stuff you did. Did you want to mention your senior capstone and what that was and what that entailed?
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, so then I decided I wanted to do the media arts capstone. And what that consisted of was working with a Canadian author to adapt his short story to stop-motion animation. So I started pre-production in January, and the 9-minute long animation was finished by May 1st, I believe. That was the date. Yeah, May 1st. So it was pretty intense months as I was working part-time job and taking 18 credits and then completing an animation.
And is that online? Can we link to that in the show notes? Or
Yeah. If you go to ruthwells.com, you can check it out. Otherwise, you can go to my Vimeo too. Okay. See it there.
We'll put links.
And I have a lot of my other animations there, along with some illustrations.
We'll put links to that in the show notes, and people can find the show notes by going to creativecirclepodcast.com/9. Right? This is show 9.
Yes, I think it's okay. Just show 9.
I think this is show 9. We'll correct ourselves at the end of the show if we're wrong.
It's show 9.
It will be show 9.
Awesome.
Whether it is or not.
Mm-hmm. No, that was a really cool project, Ruth. And that was, I want to say, one of the more ambitious student projects I've ever seen here.
Thank you. Well, you know what? Kurt said about that? He said that the best part of my animation was the credits, which were actually done by you. So kudos to you, Aaron, for making my project better. Also, I've been meaning to tell you. So when I had my interview with Stupid Buddy, the VFX, head of VFX, he was like, hey, by the way, your end credits for your animation? He's like, how did you do that? He's like, they were so cool. And I was like, oh, we had, you know, like, I told him that you had done it and that you had, like, a push, like, rig kind of, like, dolly thing. And he was like, no way. He was like, that was so smooth. And I was like, oh, if only you knew how many takes it took.
That's really special that he said that, because I look at it and I don't think it's all that smooth, but
no, he was really impressed, and I was like, yeah, and he's like, that's awesome. He's like, great work. And I was like, well, okay, thanks.
Well, you know what's really awesome about that sequence is not anything that I did, but it's the fact that you see all of the stuff that you made. I mean, you spent months building chickens and balloons and characters. And
awkward.
So I was just basically taking pretty pictures of all the cool stuff you made. I mean,
that's he was complimenting the cinematography.
I realize that too, and I appreciate okay. I appreciate that. But
okay, all right, just let's be real. He was complimenting you.
Well, that's special. That makes me feel good.
All right, I'm glad. I've been meaning to tell you that now for a month and a half, and I forgot.
Well, then I'm glad we talked today. Then
today, yeah. Good times.
It's good to catch up on things.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. I like to make things awkward.
Oh, you're never awkward enough.
Well, Phil wants to go to bed now.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet he does. Oh, what is thanks. It, like 11 o'clock there?
It's not quite that bad. No. But, you know, he has to get up early tomorrow and stuff, so.
Ooh, I get up at 5:30 every morning.
Yeah, that's like 9 our time.
Way to be on top. Way to be on top of things, though, Ruth.
Thank you. Well, I have to be at work at 6:45, so.
Well, we don't want to keep you up too late.
Yep.
Thank you for being on the show and talking to us.
I'm so sorry.
That's right. Don't talk over me, Aaron. Let me talk.
I was gonna say, I'm sorry. First of all, secondly, I'm really glad we got to talk to you. This has been great. This makes my day, my week.
This makes your week. Oh, yes. Your poor sad week.
No, this was a good week.
And, oh.
But this is
oh,
a,
wow.
I think this is a big part of why it's a good week. Actually, this week has been kind of so-so, but now it's a good week.
Aaron, I haven't seen you for like 6 months, and you're like super adorable now. What happened?
I don't know.
I don't know. Things have changed since you left.
Maybe it's that tap water I'm drinking. I don't know.
Tap water. What is this? I don't even.
I hear.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll catch
you. You know
up.
What? This is gonna be like the Minnesota goodbye. It's gonna happen like 12 times.
Okay. Bye.
Try again. Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Where can we find show notes, Phil?
Show notes for this episode. You don't want to say like something else. No. No, we just do.
I really like your sister.
I'm sorry. Okay.
I mean, I know you do too. But...
I need to go lay down. Oh.
Before you do that, can we find show notes?
Show notes for this episode can be found at creativecirclepodcast.com/9 for episode number 9. That's the number, just the number, and you can find it there. You can find us on iTunes. Subscribe. Tell your friends. If you like the show, let us know. If you don't like the show, tell us how we can make it better. We have a feedback form on the webpage. You can find links to my blog and Aaron's portfolio and blog on the website as well. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else we need to say here?
Where can we find you on the Twitters, Phil?
I'm Mr. Bob Dabalina on Twitter. And I don't know what your handle is.
I have no idea how to spell that, but I think if you search Phil's name, you'll find it.
If you search my name. I have links on my page, on my blog.
I should link to my Twitter now. You can find me at Aaron M. I. Evans, M as in men, I as in me. So that works too.
And should we give a shout out to Ben Schultz again for the theme music for our podcast at this point?
Thanks, Ben Schultz.
For the theme music. You can find him, he is the Fledgling, on Bandcamp?
And SoundCloud.
So hunt him out. We'll have links to that in the show notes as well. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
Check you next week.